But you know that's the truth. He said, if you will worship him, if you will worship me, I will inhabit the praise of my people. How did he come in? He rides in on the wings of our praise. Amen. Now, sound and sight is both on the same wave. We can hear, but we cannot see our sound. God sees our sound. He not only hears our prayers, he sees our prayers. So you see how Jesus can ride on the wings of a prayer. He can see them. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He can see our prayers and ride in on them. Hallelujah. So if the church gets dead, start praising the Lord. There's no excitement in the graveyard. Is there? Not very much. There's going to be one of these days, but not right now. Oh, praise God. All right, we're going to look and see about the Holy Spirit tonight. Now, let me tell you one thing right on the start. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not an option. It is a command. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, what? Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. Commanded them, hey boys, I got a job for you to do, but I want you to, don't you go out and try to do it until you are equipped. When I was praying over here just a few minutes ago, I felt like the Lord dropped something in my heart. Now Jesus said, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord, and said, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as wool. They'll be red like crimson, they should be as white as snow. But again, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your soul. Did you know that, now this is what the Lord showed me just a few minutes ago. The Holy Ghost is the harness that we put on to yoke ourselves together with Jesus Christ. Without that harness, we will not fit the yoke. Now, Dad was a mule skinner. He was a horse trainer and drove. And when we lived in Wyoming, where I was born, we lived on a homestead. And he drove a freight wagon. He had he'd go this way a week and he'd load up and come back to the house a week. Take him a week to come back. He'd stay 2 days, let his horses rest up, and then he'd load up hook up his horses again and go on a week the other way. And every 2 weeks he was home for 2 days. Had 16 head of horses and 2 freight wagons, and he hauled freight. Now, this is the olden days, it sounds like, don't it? Well, it wasn't too long, because I was born out there in Wyoming. But he always had his harness in top shape. He would never let his harness get out of shape. But you know now, there's a lot of things to fit in the harness to a horse. First of all, you have to put the collar around his neck. That's where all the pulling comes from. And the collar must fit, or he'll get a sore neck, and then he'll shy from his load. So first of all, You got to be fit to the yoke with Jesus Christ. And he never gives you one that don't fit. Amen. So they put the hames on the collar then, buckle it tight, and the tugs are fastened to the hame, goes back to the single tree, fastened to the double tree fastened to the tongue that pulls the wagon. You can put all the hames on a horse you want to. If there's no tugs on it, he's not going to pull anything. And if there's no double tree, single tree there to hook the tugs to, he's still not going to pull anything. So see, the Holy Ghost completely equips you and I to fit in the yoke with Jesus Christ. Amen? So he said, boy, don't you leave here until you get harnessed up right. Amen? Get your harness on before you try to work. Too many people today are trying to work without their harness. What do they do? They get a sore neck, and then they shy away from the work of God. And the first thing you know, man, they just not working for the Lord at all. So let's go to the upper room. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days after. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore the kingdom? Restore again the kingdom? To Israel, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. What you say? He said, I want you to be equipped when you leave this place, and I want you to stay in town here on one place until you are filled and anointed with the Holy Ghost. They made up their mind that they want to do it. So let's go into the upper room for just a minute and talk to some of them. Let's just walk in and say, hey, there's Peter. Now, if you look over just a little ways further, that you'll find that they were there. In the 13th verse, and when they came together, they went into the upper room where both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Zilotes and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued in one place in one accord. Now that was a miracle, wasn't it? Get them in one place in one accord. You get nine people in a boat and crew, and none of them can get the same thing. They all got different ideas. But they were in one place in one accord. You know why? They wanted what Jesus had promised them. And they stayed there. Oh, listen, but go on. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I've had people say, well, I don't think there's any need for the Holy Ghost. Now, the fellow that we had preaching for us over the weekend was back home. He was one of the professors in Bible school. I think I mentioned the other night. And he said, some of those young preachers tell him, I don't see any need of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. and what kind of pastors they're going to make. They're going out half-harnessed. They'll have a sore neck the first thing you know, and they say, well, it's just not working for me. Just not working for me. No, it won't work unless they're harnessed right when they leave. But I want you to notice now all these up there. And Mary, the mother of Jesus. All right, let's talk to Mary just a little bit. And say, Mary, why are you here seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why are you here seeking this thing that God the Father has promised them? And she might say, well, just because I was a mother of Jesus our Savior is no sign I don't need the promise of the Father. I need this anointing unless I stray. See, I'm just a human like anybody else, but I had favor with God. But that don't set me above anybody because I need this thing in my heart and in my life. And when we get so good that we don't think we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're way off a track. Watch out. You're headed for a fall. Anytime we deny the Spirit of the living God, we're headed for problems. Amen? But all of them, when we stay there until we are endued with power from on high. So I believe her answer was, I don't want to leave this place until I receive the promise of the Father that when I go out into the world and they say, oh, you're Mary, the mother of Jesus. No wonder you're so good. No, it's not because I was the mother of Jesus, but it's because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I am what I am. Amen. And tonight, you are what you are by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Or I wrote a song here a while back that said, trying to get to heaven and your good works is like rocking in a rocking chair. You rock and rock the whole day long, but you're not getting anywhere. You rock and rock the whole day through, and when you've rocked your final rock, or when your final rock is done, you're right back where you started. A lot of people think, well, now I tell you, I'm a pretty good guy. I pay tithes and I take communion and I work in a choir and I give my offerings and I even took the preacher fishing the other day. And there's just a lot of things I do in church. And I think that's pretty fair. Trying to get to heaven on your good works like rocking in a rocking chair. Amen? I'm sure if the pastor wanted to go fishing, he wouldn't have to have you to take him. Just on your good works. Now he might enjoy it, so ask him sometime if he wants to go fishing. All right, let's talk to Peter just a little. Peter, what are you doing here? Why are you in here? And I see old Peter look up with tears streaming down, running through his beard, and he was down to earnest with God because he knew not too many days before he had denied the Lord. He had denied his Lord Jesus Christ and said, I don't even know the man. And even cursed and swore because somebody accused him. And I see him look up in tear-stained eyes, and he said, we've been praying here now for 8 days, but I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to stay right here until I'm endued with that power from on high, because the next time anybody accuses me of being one of his, I want to throw my chest out and say, yes, by the mighty power of God, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I'm glad to claim him as my Savior tonight. Amen. And when it comes time for old Peter to be crucified, what did he say? Crucify me upside down. I'm not worth being crucified like him. Oh, listen, we need to get excited about the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen? And be filled with that Holy Ghost. Praise God. And when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound. There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We had a family in Colorado. They wanted to talk to us. We want to meet you in the office. We want to talk to you. Okay. We went in the office and they said, now, Brother Hamilton, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but we've never spoken tongues. I said, I beg your pardon, honey. Somebody's been lying to you. They said, when we got saved, we received the Spirit. I said, you received the Spirit of adoption, you received the Spirit of Christ, but unless you spoke in tongues, you was never baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't need to tell you they come to church once in a while after that. You see, a lot of people like the blessings of God, but they don't like to dig too deep. If somebody else will pray the blessing on them, oh, I'll tell you, that guy's so wonderful. I went to church, and when he laid his hands on me, I fell on the floor, and God blessed me. What'd they do when they went home? Oh, you know, I was down the store the other day, and they gave me $5 too much change. What'd you do with it? Well, I kept it. They don't know better than that. They need to go back and get prayed over again. Amen. Oh, listen. So we need to be careful tonight and know. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as what? As the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, you're starting to get harnessed now, aren't you? You're beginning to feel the yoke a little bit. You're getting in there now. Hey, I want this power. I want to pull right up the side of Jesus. I don't want him pulling all the load. Amen. But he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. It's only easy when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, praise God. I like this. And you say, well, Peter, what are you doing here? Did it happen? Well, look a little further, and you'll see that when he went down out of the upper room the next day, or whenever the Holy Ghost came, he began to preach a little bit. And what happened? How many were saved? 3,000 of them got saved. My goodness, I tell you, if we had a Holy Ghost meeting like that today, we'd turn this town upside down. Amen. I was watching Reinhard Bunker the other night, and the crowd that he was preaching to was over 2 million people. Can you imagine that? 2 million people in one crowd, just as far as you could see, was people. Now, they had conversions. 1,500,000 cards was handed in that they'd been conversion-based, that they'd made decisions for the Lord. What is it? It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's this anointing that fell in the upper room that day that's still moving on the face of this old world tonight. Amen. It'll move for you. It'll move for me. It'll move for whoever will let him, praise God. Oh, I thank God tonight. I thank God tonight. I thank God tonight that the Holy Ghost is still real and powerful, just as it ever was. Praise God. I am filled, I am being filled, and I will be filled. Amen. I'm filled, I was filled, I'm filled, and I will be filled. Amen. Just like I was saved, I am saved, and I will be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'll only be filled as long as I walk in the will of God. Amen. These people are coming in and saying, well, I think once you're saved, you could do anything you want to do then. Now, you're a child of God, and he'll not refuse his children. He'll not refuse his children just like a natural father will. But I want to tell you something. Read them Ezekiel 33:12. He says, the righteousness of the righteous will not prevail to him, but they may be transgressed. Oh, well, that's the old Bible. Get there, turn right around, quote the 23rd Psalm to you. Oh, well, why are you quoting that? That's the old Bible. Oh, yeah, but that's good. That's good. Oh, listen, I want you to hear something. For I'm the Lord that bringeth you up out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, to be your God. He shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. The Holy Spirit helps you to walk in holiness before the Lord. Amen. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you and keep you in the right path. As long as you listen to the Holy Ghost, you will never go wrong. I don't care what he tells you to do. Amen. When you're so full of the Holy Ghost, if God tells you to go get Moby Dick, you'll go through the kitchen and pick up the tartar sauce. Amen. You say, hey, Lord, here I go. Let's go get him. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad tonight that the Holy Ghost is still real. Listen, we're in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter and 25th verse. He said, and I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. He was talking to the valley of bones. Well, what was going to make them do it? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to come down to them. You say, oh, I just feel like a bunch of dry bones sometimes. Well, let the Spirit of God come in, and you'll find life there. Hallelujah. There'll be life in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Oh, listen. In John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. And listen, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Woo! Hallelujah. I like that part. He's in me. He's in me tonight. Praise God. He's in me tonight. Amen. Oh, that song, the boys from over Australia, I believe, were singing. He will set your heart to dancing and set your feet to dancing too. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, praise God. I preached it here while back, and after service, a lady said, I just felt like shouting. I said, well, why in the world didn't you? Well, you know, somebody might be listening. Somebody might be watching me. Hey, if your life is right before God and there's nothing there that condemns you, I believe you'd ought to shout once in a while. No matter who's there or what's there, I believe we'd ought to just rear back and praise God in spite of anything the devil tries. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, oh, I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved. Hallelujah. And I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I told you I went into some church and almost prayed, Lord, vaccinate me quick before I catch what they got. Well, hey, listen. When you come into a church that's full of the Holy Ghost and anointing of God, there's something there that you just can't wait to get back to church. Ooh, praise God. Just can't wait to get back to church. Praise God. I'll tell you, sometimes I wish every day was Sunday so we'd come back to church and have another good meeting. Amen. You know, when our kids were growing up, when we just had little girls, they never did ask, are we going to church? You know what they said? Well, what am I going to wear to church? They knew if it was church time, we were going. There's just no way out of that. As long as they stuck their feet under my table, they went to church with me. Amen. When they got out from under my table, then they did what they wanted to, and they backslid. But God didn't let them go. He kept them. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost is the source of my victory tonight. Amen. I said, He is the source of my victory tonight. Praise God. Oh, listen. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Praise God. It's the Holy Ghost that gives me the strength and the anointing and the excitement in my soul to tell somebody about Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I like that. Oh, He said, but He shall be with you and shall be in you. Amen. He's not only with me, but He's in me. He's not only in me, but He's with me. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Listen, I feel Him in here, and I say, well, Holy Ghost, where are we going today? Well, just follow me. I just heard from the Father. He told me where to take you. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. So He's in us. Amen. Romans 8 and 9. But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have the Spirit of God dwell in you, wait just a minute. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, He is not of His own. He is none of His. If you have not the Spirit of God tonight, you don't belong to God. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost now, right now. I'm talking about that Spirit that comes from Christ when you accept Him as your Savior. Amen. And that opens the door for the Holy Ghost to come in. A sinner is never filled with the Holy Ghost. He won't put His Spirit in a dirty temple. Kind of remind me of a story I heard about a man that thought he was going to get robbed, so he got a cop to come and live with him, a policeman, come and live with him, and he put him in the back room. And he said, now, I don't want anybody to see you living here. I don't want them to know that. He called him a pig. I don't know that I got a pig living with me. And I think that's terrible. But he said, now, that God's going to come and rob me, he told me, was when he comes, I want you to get him. And that's the way a lot of people treat the Holy Ghost. Well, now, you just stay quiet now. We got some dignitaries with us, so don't you get too excited while they're here. But when they leave, if the devil comes around, I want you to tackle him. Give him a black eye. That's the way they treat the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you and everyone, I like to walk out and say, hey, look who's with me, buddy. Look at him. He does my light work. Who is that? He, sir, is the Holy Ghost. They call him the Holy Ghost. Where'd he come from? In the beginning was God. And he said, let us create man in our image. He was talking to the Holy Ghost, and he was talking to Jesus Christ. Ooh, hallelujah. You ask where he come from? Not only that, you can ask where he's going. He's going all the way. He's going all the way with you if you just let him. Praise God. So, hey, it's exciting to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Dwelleth in you? Isn't it a shame the way some people treat the temple of God? Man, they treat their barns a lot better than they do the temple of God. I can't hardly stand these guys that say, oh, I'm a Christian. I've been born again. You got a match? There's not going to be any spittoons or nice trays in heaven. Amen? Dave Wilkinson wrote a book, Ship of Saints and Puff of Prophets. You remember that one? Sipping saints and puffing prophets. You know there's a lot of sipping saints tonight? Well, they're sippers. I don't know they're saints. But we need to be careful how we treat the Holy Ghost. He said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? I'm the temple of God tonight. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost lives in me. Why? Because I presented myself clean to the Lord as the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he came in. Hallelujah. He's not in the back room somewhere and just shows up when I need him. I need him all the time. I want him right here all the time. Amen. Oh, praise God. So you see why they were tearing until they were endued with power from on high. They wanted the promise of God. Amen. Amen. It might take some tearing for you to get there, but I guarantee you, it'll be worth it when you get there. Amen. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Hear that? The anointing that you have received from him abideth in you. What does abiding mean? Come by and slap you once in a while? Oh, no. It means coming in, taking a hold, wrapping around you, walking with you, carrying you when you needed carrying, and helping you when you need help, being there when you have a problem. Oh, hallelujah. That's what abiding means, abiding you. And ye need not that any man teach you. As well, I don't need no teaching then. Oh, yes, you do. He's talking about the leading of the Holy Ghost. No man has to teach you how the Holy Ghost is going to lead you. He will lead you himself. I could sit here and tell Brother Wampler, Brother Wampler, I believe the Holy Ghost wants to lead you down to the river and fish all night tonight. Brother Wampler, see, he hadn't said a word to me yet. But if it spoke to him, you see, I didn't have to tell him to go. God has a line straight through, like that little cell phone I was talking about the other night. Oh, listen. But us, the same anointing. Let's go back. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Abiding in him. Amen. Wrapped around. You know, I believe that we'd ought to be with Jesus like our little puppy dog. You know, you go away from the house and you stay all day and you come in and you open the door and that little puppy dog is right at your feet and he's dancing all around you and he's licking your shoes and he's jumping up on you. And he'll reach up and lick your hand, and he's so excited to see you. I think that's how we ought to be when we come to the house of the Lord. Say, oh, Lord, I'm just so anxious to be with you. Where are you at, Lord? Oh, come down in our midst. Come down in our midst. Let me feel your presence, Lord. Oh, I owe you so much, Lord. Let me praise you. Let me worship you. Let me give you thanks for keeping me through this ungodly day that I went through. Well, I guarantee you, if you're out in the world, you'll feel like taking a bath when you come home. I will walk in the freedom of the Spirit because I know the truth. I know the truth. Hallelujah. I know the truth. So therefore, I'm going to walk in the freedom of the Spirit. Amen. What is the freedom of the Spirit? I'm glad you asked. The freedom of the Spirit is doing what God called you to do without interference from the devil. You're free to go on and do what God tells you to do, no matter what it is. So I said, if you said, go after Moby Dick, get the tartar sauce. Amen. You know, I like the attitude David had when he went out there in the trenches, and he looked up and he saw that big old boy. He said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine out there cussing our army? Who do you think he is? And his brother said, oh, shut up, you little pimp. Don't you know that that's a giant, and he'll wipe his feet on you. Look how big he is. David said, I was just thinking, I couldn't miss him if I wanted to. I couldn't miss him if I wanted to. I think I'll go get me some rocks and see what I can do with him. You know why? The Spirit of God dwelt in him. He knew the truth. He knew the outcome. He knew the victory. Neighbor, you and I, if we're walking in the Spirit, we'll know the outcome. We'll know the victory is ours, amen? And we won't have to worry. Amen? But we walk in the power and the anointing, praise God. All is, and it shall come to pass, and afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions. Brother Harvey, I don't know whether I'm old or young. The other night I dreamed I had a vision. We're seeing these things happen today. By how? By the same Holy Spirit that was poured out in the upper room. Amen. He's still here. He's still working today. He's still alive and well. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad for that. Oh, and it shall come to pass. It's coming to pass right before our eyes tonight. We're seeing these things happen on every hand. We're seeing greater things happen in revivals nowadays than has ever been known on the face of the earth. Amen. The dead are being raised right and left. Blinded eyes being opened. Deaf ears unstopped. And people that have been in wheelchairs for 15 to 20 years jumping out and running the aisle. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is at work in a few hearts that are still letting him work. Woo, praise God. I'm just about to get happy. Oh, listen. John, he said, I need baptize you with repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Woo, praise God. I like that fire. It burns up all the trash. Amen? And when you get a good old gully washer that washes out all the hillsides and works the trash down, washes it away, that's the power of the Holy Ghost falling in our midst. And then when the fire comes in and picks up the little twigs that's left behind, in case it grows up and starts something else, the fire burns it up and takes care of it. Praise God. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask of him? Well, you know, the Lord knows where I am. He won't fill me with the Holy Ghost. He can. He wants to, but he won't with that attitude. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and surely you'll find. If you knock, keep on knocking, the door will be opened unto you. Amen. So we need to come to God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit and say, God, I'm so hungry. You know when the wife got filled with the Holy Ghost, she told the preacher, she said, if I don't get filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to backslide. And that Sunday morning, after Sunday school and church, she got filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, where do I have to be to get the baptism? Well, it's not where you are, it's what condition your heart's in. Amen? I don't know if I told you about old Brother Cooks at Trenton. Got the Holy Ghost milking his goat. She was cooking his breakfast. I love to hear this. I'd love to hear this old lady tell about it. And every time I went to church with her, I'd say, tell me again how Brother Cooksey got the baptism. And she'd go through the whole thing. Well, she said, I had to fix me breakfast, and I got his eggs and bacon out there, and his eggs was getting cold, and his toast was getting cold. And I don't know what had happened to him. I went out there to see what was the matter with him. And he said, she said, there, he said, milking that old goat like crazy. Didn't have a drop of milk. Already milked her dry. He was still milking as hard as he could milk. She'd go through all emotions and everything. And talking in tongues just as hard as he could talk. Lord, fill him with the Holy Ghost, milking his goat. So it's not where you are, it's what condition your heart is. How clean is your vessel? If it's dirty, he won't come in. Oh, listen. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. How are we going to do it? By being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? You will never serve God in your fullness until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You can never do what God wants you to do until you are filled with His Spirit. Amen? All right. Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power. Power for what? Witnessing? For overcoming Satan? For overcoming those friends that talk about you, make fun of you, and go through all their ungodly emotions that they make, accuse you for things that you're not guilty of? It will give you power to overcome all these things. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost to where nothing else matters, you cannot be offended. When you see a church split, I want to tell you something. Somebody is not filled with the Holy Ghost where they ought to be. Amen? Anytime you talk about your pastor and gossip about your pastor, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost like you ought to be. If you can't say something good about your pastor, don't say anything. And people will think you're pretty straight. Amen? Oh, listen. I don't care if you don't like his preaching. God sent him there. You put up with him. And if you don't like it, you begin to pray that God would change him. And the first thing you know, he'll begin to sound different. Our old pastor out in California went to the hospital to see an elderly gentleman. Went in there and he said, "Brother May, I tell you, this is the honorest bunch of nurses in here I ever seen in my life. They won't give you a drink of water. They won't bring you an aspirin. They won't do anything for you." And before he left there, old Brother May got to praying with him, and the old boy gave his heart to the Lord. Went back 2 days later, and he walked in, and that old man had a smile on his face. "Well, hello, Brother May. How you doing?" He said, "I tell you, there's been such a change in these nurses around here, you wouldn't believe it." What happened? There was a change made here. Amen. There was a change made. I always told my people when I was pastor of the church, "Hey, if you don't like me, that's your problem. If God sent me here, if you want to get rid of me, pray me out. Don't try to kick me out. Hey, you run me out of town, I'm going to walk slow. They'll think I'm leading the parade." I'm going to be shouting all over. "Hallelujah! I'm getting rid of this bunch. Thank you, Lord." Praise God. Well, we need to be excited about the Lord, huh? Or I said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father. But tarry you. Wait a while. Wait a while. If it don't come the first 5 minutes, try another five." You see, I fooled around for 3 years after I was saved, before I got filled with the Holy Ghost. They said pray, and I thought they said play. But when I got down to business with God, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. The first night I spoke a few words, and the next night I spoke a few words, and the wife said, "Well, are you satisfied?" I said, "No." She said, "What's it going to take to satisfy you?" I said, "I hope I'm never satisfied." Amen? And I speak in tongues today, but I'm not satisfied yet. I feel like God's got something more for me. Amen? And I'm looking for it, brother. I'm looking for it, praise God. I'm going after it, regardless what the devil tries or what he says. That victory's mine through the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to take it. This old-time preacher was sleeping one night, and all of a sudden he heard a noise, and he raised up and said, "There the devil stood right at the foot of his bed." And said, he rubbed his eyes and looked at him and said, "Oh, it's just you. Just laid back down and went to sleep." He knew the devil didn't have a chance. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's important. It's important. It's really important. It's very important that we are filled with the Holy Ghost in the day in which you and I live. Amen? If somebody comes to you with a double-barreled shotgun, stick it up to your ear and say, are you a child of God? How much strength would you have to say yes? Like the little girls in the high school in Colorado. It takes a lot of the Spirit of God to do that. Amen? My goodness, the devil will show you your brain scattered all over the wall before they pull the trigger. He says, hey, you better watch out what you say. You know, I like old Paul's attitude. Paul said, hey, you whip me, I'm going to sing about it. You throw me in jail, I'm going to have revival. You kill me, I'll go home to be with Jesus. Just do your best shot. Woo, what an attitude. Praise God. Praise God. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are